Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
broken.
Even though I'm in it for a while,
girl,
I smile.
Hallelujah.
Know how to look up when you're down.
I know it's hard right now.
Show but hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better. Bring your smile.
You look better.
Of course we do. Of course we do. Welcome to Cheryl's World. I'm Cheryl Smith. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful day. And it is a beautiful day. Coming up off of a mega fest week. And gosh, there were so many other things going on as well. And we'll talk about some of those things. And I have, you can even listen to Miles J singing at Brick House Lounge. He was there Friday night, Saturday night, and he'll be there tomorrow night. And tonight, listen to me, getting ahead of things. But I tell you, it's been nice. I was just making an observation. I was making an observation about MegaFest. Did you happen to get to MegaFest? Well, let me tell you, the observation I made, it kind of reminded me of when I went to the inauguration. When I went to the inauguration, there was, D.C. was like a new place, a different place. People were nicer. They were kinder and gentler. It was, it was a wonderful feeling. And that's what, you know, it's just beautiful. And that's how it was. That's how it was with MegaFest. MegaFest was beautiful. People were walking around, speaking, being helpful. It was just wonderful. It's really wonderful. And I'm glad that I had an opportunity to be a part of it. It wasn't a part of a lot because this week was a busy week for me. And it was a busy week because it was, I had, you know, there were issues with my mom. And my, I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. I really do appreciate and the support and everything. And I tell you, it was great to spend time with her talking about things. And one thing I am really, really grateful for is that there was some conversations. There was an experience that needed to happen with me and my mom, and it happened before. Better late than never. But this actually happened before. So I just have to tell you that I'm really happy about that. And if there's somebody that you can make peace with or they have a better understanding with, I just say, do it. Do it, because life is too short. You're going to move on. Why not get it out of the way? Do some things, you know. And, let me just tell you something. We got some work to do. We really do. This is Cheryl's World. Thanks for tuning in this morning. And last night I was out, and you can check out my Facebook page. I'm Pen on Fire at Pen on Fire on Twitter. And I put up a picture of Miles J performing. But there's also pictures from MegaFest 2013, and got to see a lot of people. Hello, Sister Sharon Patterson. And, you know, she lost her mom last month. And I started the week off actually with Dr. Harry Robinson. And he is such a jokester. He was talking about, I was with him at a reception honoring his mother, celebrating her life because she passed. And it was something he talked about, how his mother was a terror. In fact, he said that when he heard reports that, first the reports were saying a Navy SEAL had caught a terrorist, he thought they were in Louisiana getting his mama. And it was a really wonderful, wonderful time to be with Dr. Harry Robinson and to hear him talk about, you know, his life with his mom. And gosh, so many other people. I know that the Honorable Etta Mullen lost her mom, and there's some other deaths as well. And this marks, you know, the 10th year since the passing of John Woods. His services were actually held on August 30th, 2003. And John Woods was my friend, even though he went to Southern University. And yes, he loved him some Cheryl Smith. I know that I had to be out of females his best friend. And I really appreciated him. You know, John Woods is married to Mary, and then he also had two children, Jonathan and Jada. And I just tell you, I really miss my friend. I miss my friend John Woods. And people say gone but forgotten, and I just want people to know I don't forget people who were good to me. And speaking of someone who was good to me, why don't we just bring on the one and only Andrew Wickham. You know who he is, don't you? Good morning, Andrew.
And good morning to everyone in Cheryl's World. It has been an unbelievably busy weekend. Like you said, with MegaFest going on, have a friend of the family come in from Tampa. Unbelievable. Cheryl, I had to be on my best behavior because we had people from my church to come down. So, you know, I had to go back a little bit. Instead of being Andrew, I had to be little Andrew Wickham in some of the older eyes. But it was fun. It's, you know, very tiring. It's, I tell you, about 10, 15 years ago, somebody came to town, we ripped and ran and ripped. But, you know, showing them around, they trying to avoid the toll tag and all, Cheryl. I got to call the NTAA and see if we can pay before the rental car and people get them.
Well, yeah, I had some people. I was on Facebook, and this is really funny because, you know, my mom's in a hospital, so when I go up there, she loves Judge Mathis. Mm. And people get caught on Facebook all the time. People get caught on Facebook. So I am looking at Facebook, and I see one of my children, one of my nieces, I pledged her mama 33 years ago. And I see her on Facebook talking about MegaFest and getting ready to go to something. And so, you know, I got belligerent on Facebook. And in all caps.
So you were shouting?
Yes. Yes. And so I said, where are you? And so she wrote me back, and it was really kind of funny because I was she wrote back that she was at the American Airlines Center, and so you know me and my sweet self, I was getting ready to go to see Miles J. And I know you're going to get some black college sports. I just saw a TV and TSU, so that Houston thing, we'll get into that in a minute. But I was trying to find my words to this girl because, and listen to me saying girl, because I was ready to tap some tail. That's a nice way to put it. And that's a nice, oh, it's on Sunday morning. I shouldn't do that. But when I asked, where are you? And she said she was there. I was like, okay. I said, there's a butt whooping with your name on it. That was nice, wasn't it?
Oh, that was very nice.
And, I mean, it wasn't. Oh boy. I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice. But I was like, there's a bubble with your name on it. And she wrote back, what did I do? And sent her phone number, and I said, you are this close to me? ? And so she said, are you at the concert? Me and my sisters are here. We are not leaving until 2 tomorrow. So I told her, no, I was at another event. And she said, okay, you're going to church in the morning? And so I told her what my schedule looked like. And I said, now, if your mom is here, I'm going to hurt somebody. And so she told me, no, her mom wasn't there laughing. And, you know, so I'm a laugh out loud. And she gone H-O-L because she, her mom, I don't know if you remember Betty Boo.
I remember the name, but give me the real name. You know, you all had y'all nicknames. I knew a lot of the girls by their real name.
Well, this is really interesting because her name is a variation of hers. Her name is actually Betty Smith. She's from Tallahassee.
Okay.
Yes. And you probably didn't know because she hung with this sophisticated, dynamic Delta named Cheryl Smith.
Okay. Wow, no, I didn't know Betty. And I'm trying to think Smith, not Charles U. Smith, not that connection.
No.
Okay.
And I love Betty Boo. And Betty and Boo and I, Betty Boo is my baby. And to find out that her children are in Dallas and they didn't call their Aunt Cheryl, I'm going to get them. Is that wrong of me?
No, no. But I feel like that too, and I feel a responsibility. I know sometimes you're in and out of city, but if it's somebody close, you know, to me, when I'm there, I'll at least give them a call and see if we can hook up. I may not have the time, but, you know, it kind of reminds me when I go to Tampa. I used to ask everybody, especially family, come on to me, because it's kind of hard going to everybody's house.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of come to me and then say hello, this, that, and the other, and then that's a good visit. Because, you know, going to see the elderly relatives, which you had to, you know, I had Aunt Thelma, Aunt Ruth, and they lived on two opposite ends of the city. At the time, for me, I thought it was so far away, but after living in Dallas, I got up on their house so fast, I said, oh, my God, I'm here already. But, you know, we have to drive 20, 30 minutes to go anywhere around here. And,
right.
And when you go back to Tampa, which is, of course, not as big as here, it's I was able to pull off a little bit more than I wanted to. But usually I have family and friends, you know, come on, stop by the house. I'll be here from this time, this time. You know, it's like they're making appointments. But, yeah, when I'm out of town, I at least try to call and say, well, hey, if we get an opportunity, let's get together. If not, you know, let's communicate.
Yeah, and see, my mom lets everybody know I'm coming to New Jersey. And then when I go to Plant City, oh, word travels so darn fast there. And so I do understand, but she don't know nobody in Dallas. And I'm the person who's going to write her letter for Delta.
Ah,
so,
now you're blackballing. You're using the art of negotiation now, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, you're supposed to let me know you here. And she know I love me some Betty Boom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get her.
Well,
I don't want you grinning at me with those pretty smiles either. I'm going to get her.
Do it via email or something so you can put all your caps in. You know, some of these young folks can't take the screaming or the loud talking there. It's unfortunate. But like I tell my kids all the time, it's not so much the messenger, it's the message that you got to hear, not how it's delivered.
I got to listen to their loud music.
I know, Cheryl. I'm right with you on that one. I'm not a very popular person in my house this weekend.
Oh, no, why not?
Well, you know, my son doesn't go visit much. You know, he got a couple of buddies. But my daughter, she wants to hang out at the mall. And I keep telling her, you don't have no money. What you going to the mall? But they like to hang out with their little girls. And one little girl called and said, well, I saw your boyfriend. I said, boyfriend? You're just 13. What's going on? So, you know, she won't talk from that standpoint. But when I heard that, she wanted to hang out with him again last night. And I said, no, I think you need to stay home Labor Day weekend.
Well, you want to know what? I think you and I in the same parent house I got a couple of calls this week. And, Andrew, I have to tell you, I really needed them because on Monday, I went to Dr. Harry Robinson's the celebration of life for his mom at the African American Museum. And after I finished, I said, let me stop by Sweet Georgia Brown and say hello to Mr. Williams. So when I was there, I was telling him, you know, that my mom was still in the hospital and everything. And so he said, what's your mama eat? I want to, send her something. So I said, well, you know, she hadn't been eating that much, but I got something. And I took I took it up there to her, and boy, she ate it like it was the last meal. And I was glad to see that. And then as I was getting ready to walk out the door, the doctor came in. Dr. Boyd came in. And so I stayed there. He talked. He talked a bit. And then he said he wanted to talk to me. Okay, well, and this you will know, and you can help me through this. He talked about, because I really started to call you, but I know that I'm on you all the time, and I needed to give you a break. And so I listened to him talk and everything. He talked about, he said, your mom, you know, your mom has COPD, and I said, right. And the medical term for that is, Andrew?
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Okay. And so then he said she is in the end stages.
Right. And what he meant.
Go ahead.
Let me say, and I know what you heard, but when we say N, it's I-N, not E-N-D. So you may have heard it. You may have thought E-N-D stages.
That's what I thought. That's what I said. And he said this is the fourth stage.
She's probably deep in it with the cigarette smoking. And we call it exacerbation. That's when you're actually going through the process of being short of breath and everything. And I mean, she's further along the process than before, but when she's having her attacks, we call that end stage, like IN stage. So that's when you take her to the hospital. She couldn't breathe. She gets the oxygen. They probably give her some Lasix, the water pills, and other drying agents for her secretions. Now, if it's someone, you know, older, and it could be younger. I hate to say older. But we see it more at the VA. Older, less mobile, people who their quality of life has decreased a lot because they don't do much.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
you would say it's process is further along. You know, because I never look at END as a stage. I mean, some people are very bad, and you can see, you know, if things are going to happen. They have what we call death rattle, and, you know, you just pick that along the way. But usually high end, like end stage.
Okay, well,
having her attacked.
I should have bothered you then. But anyway, but he did say it was the fourth, and he did, and other things he did say, he said, that she could have an episode.
Uh-huh.
And that any episode could be fatal. You're quiet. You're not saying.
No, I was trying to see which angle I was going to take on that one.
Okay.
Anytime someone has, and what she probably has more of is emphysema, which is under that big umbrella. The lay people use COPD as the disease process, but actually it's the classification of the process, meaning asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and bronchiectasis, are all under that umbrella of COPD.
Mm.
What they're trying to change the name and make it reactive airway disease, and it's a big umbrella, because we use COPD as a diagnosis for emphysema. And that's just, we're using it wrong, but that's the way they've been using it in the community. And some of the patients feel more impressed that they have COPD because you look at them crazy like, what is COPD?
Right.
So they personally say COPD, which it really is emphysema in this case.
Okay.
Charles,
well,
what he's talking about is in the process of emphysema, the mechanism of the disease is that they could get the air in but they can't get it out.
Okay.
And when people panic or hyperventilate, they have a tendency, just like blowing a balloon. You go, and you hold it in, and it holds the air, right? Then you keep blowing, 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 and the balloon gets bigger and bigger. And that's how your lungs are looking when you have emphysema. I don't know if you looked at your mother's physical chest. Usually they have what we call a barrel chest. Because their lungs are hyperinflated, meaning that they stay full of air all the time. But there are exercises, and I need to get with you and maybe go see her too, to if there are exercises that assist our emphysema patients with the exercises and getting that stale, what we call stale air out. Because they panic. They feel some of the physical symptoms that they have or tell us feel like somebody's sitting on their chest. It's real tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You hear, it's tight. I can't take a deep breath. It's a weight on my chest. You know, things of that nature. So that lets me know, again, their chest is full and they're not able to get the air out. So what we try to do, again, Lasix, different breathing exercises to try to reduce that pressure that they're feeling. And oftentimes, I have a lot of patients that come through, you know, throughout my career, especially the young ones, they panic. And again, it's like blowing a balloon. They're breathing fast, getting it in but not getting it out. So therefore, the chest wall is getting worked out because the lungs are expanding to the back of the chest wall. And then sometimes they stop breathing because, you know, the old adage when you breathe fast, not even the adage, but we should give people a paper bag because of them hyperventilating. You're blowing off a lot of carbon dioxide. And in your brain, high levels of carbon dioxide is the reason we breathe. Yes, we do need oxygen, but we breathe to get the amount of carbon dioxide out of your system. And a lot of people don't know. Let me give you this. If you were to hold your breath, you may start breathing again because your brain is telling you that you have a lot of carbon dioxide in your system. So that's why you breathe and start over. You know, our kids say, Aunt Cheryl, I'm going to hold my breath. I'm going to hold my breath until you do this. Then after a while, they
and I say, let me hold it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when they say that, you don't have to worry. The brain will kick in, and they're going to take a breath, and they'll start talking again and say, I'm going to hold my breath. Yeah, they've just taken a breath. So, you know, I didn't understand that as a child, but, you know, since I've been in the field, in the mechanics of it, I truly understand on a scientific side. So, again, someone with emphysema, you breathe fast, or a panic attack, you breathe fast, the level of CO2 goes down. So when you work up, that's why people stop breathing, because there's not enough in their system to tell them to breathe. And that's why we have to be careful when we treat people with emphysema. We try to put them on low oxygen. They may have some oxygen problems, but we try to, the lowest amount is best because it doesn't disguise the CO2. Now, Cheryl, let me give you a quick chemistry lesson, or organic chemistry lesson. CO2, is, of course, has carbon and two molecules of oxygen. Oxygen, that's the key. When you breathe in, we breathe in oxygen, which is two molecules. Well, when you're hyperventilating, you throw out the whole molecule, which we expel, and that goes out into the atmosphere. The trees breathe the CO2, and they send us the oxygen. That's why people are so worried about trees. Well, when you're going through this process and you're putting out all the CO2, there's very little CO2 in your system. So it does not, again, it does not recognize the fact that you need to breathe. If you put a lot of oxygen, it disguises it totally. It may be there requiring you to breathe, but high levels of oxygen will sabotage, I put it like that, sabotage the amount of CO2. So that's why people stop breathing, especially when they have what we call exacerbations.
Well,
clear as mud to you. I understand that. But really, that's what's going on. the CO2 is what's the driving force for us to breathe, and the CO2 being carbon dioxide.
Well, you know what? I heard him, and I also heard that he, you know, when he said about, you know, the fourth stage, and I was putting that with some things my mother, that my mother had said to me, that some things that she had shared with me, and I was like, oh my gosh, and I was so glad that, because I needed to make peace with my mom, that I had made peace with her.
Uh-huh.
And, but I was like, oh, you know, this is really, you know, not something I wanted, you know, to deal with right now.
Right.
And so that started just a week of, you know, oh my, you know, trying to get some things in order, you know, to talk to, you know, her about some things to see where she was and everything. And then I even had to ask her at one point, Andrew, and maybe you can understand this, I did say to her, are you tired?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you giving up? Because she was not eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was... frustrated. I was frustrated because I remember being a little child, a little child, and seeing and as begging my mother to stop smoking. I remember that. And I remember that she didn't. And so I said, I know that when I was young in third and fourth grade that I asked you to stop smoking and you didn't. Because that was what you wanted to do. I said, and then today I'm asking you to eat. And I'm saying to myself, is that, you know, are you going to do again what you want to do? And I wasn't trying to chastise her or anything, but, you know, people who have these illnesses that are a result of choices that they made, eventually somebody has to take care of them.
Correct.
And I wasn't trying to be ugly in there or anything. And I just told her, you know, I need her to tell me if she was tired and everything. And she said that she, you know, she was just preparing. Like the doctor said, the doctor told me that he did not want me to be surprised because any episode she had could be her last. And he's, you know, told me Google and look at it. I looked at the four stages and everything. He talked about her lung capacity. Of course, at her age, she is not a candidate for a lung transplant. And so, you know, it was really a very tiring week, but I got some calls from some wonderful Friendship West people, from some wonderful Rattlers, and you know, because I would be at the hospital leaving like 1 a.m. and I was tired, and sometimes getting a call from somebody saying, I saw a picture of you leaving the hospital, and I just wanted to talk to you to, you know, to see you home, you know. And that meant a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That meant a lot. And She's doing better, but let me tell you the kicker. Let me bring this up a little bit, okay? Which I see that we do have a death to report. The death of journalist David Frost has died from a heart attack at the age of 74. And, on Tuesday, I was leaving, like you could say Wednesday morning, I was leaving, and I took a picture, you know, I have to take my red pictures, and so I took a picture of my mom and me, and she was asleep, and I put it on Facebook and said, you know, that, you know, she was resting. So a lot of people responded. So when I got to the hospital Wednesday after the press conference for MegaFest, I got there and I showed my mother, because so many people had said, it's like really good comments. Now, all the time I was there Tuesday, I was like, please, you got to eat, please, you got to eat. And she was eating. And so eating meant she was going to the bathroom, which means she was getting up, moving around, bodily functions, and I felt really good. And but on Wednesday, when I showed her the picture, she looked at it. Then that's why she said, you know how I am about pictures. And she said something about her cheekbones. She didn't like the way her cheekbones looked. And then she said that her hair wasn't coming. She said, then you got your hand on my head, and it kind of looked like it's like my last breath or something she was saying. So I said, okay. I said, she's feeling better. I said, you're feeling better. I see that you're feeling much better. And because she was just, going on about her, about how she looked. And so I didn't entertain her. So then she said, later she came back and she said, do you think Eleanor and Virginia could see Facebook in New Jersey? And I told some of her girlfriends and church buddies, and I said, yeah, I'm sure they can. And she said, oh. And then she said something else about the picture. Because I said, you know, Mother, I said, I could take the picture down. I said, I could take the picture down. I said, but it's all over the place. I said, it is all over the place. And I said, and that's the one thing about Facebook and the internet, you put things up. I said, you can't take it down. And I said, the thing about the internet, Mother, I said, I realized that I cannot control my image. There are some things I can control, like you will never see me cussing anybody out. Because you won't see me, I want to say you'll be hard-pressed to see me like with a drink in my hand. You won't see me with my middle finger up in the air, because there are just certain things you have to be really careful about. Andrew, I'm sure you've been places before where you're at an event and you get home and you're on Facebook or something and you see a picture of yourself that you did not pose for.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody else has been there and somebody else has taken a picture of you. And so I was explaining that to her and everything. She said, well, you know how I am. And, you know, and just like taking a picture, people taking pictures without their teeth in their head. And she's just going on. So I said, yeah, she's feeling better. And I said, well, I'll take another one. And I was just trying to get over because I was like, oh, my gosh. I know my mother. And I don't know what I was thinking of to put the picture up, and if I put it up to show it to her. So so anyway, she is doing better. My god sister who went to FAMU is coming here on Wednesday,
to help provide 24-hour care when she gets out the hospital.
Well, good.
Her birthday, she'll be 79 years old on September 10th. And, you know, we're talking about things that we didn't talk about because, I mean, you know I did not have – it was real interesting because I had the conversation with my dad about dying, but it was me. I told him, and this is no offense to you Texans, but I said, Daddy, I don't want to be buried in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I never asked him where he wanted to be buried or anything like that because I just never thought of we would want to imagine my dad or my mom not being here. So I didn't have those conversations with them and everything. So I did find out that my mom, like me, does not want them songs that make you just cry and start to hooping and hollering like Amazing Grace and His Eyes on the Sparrow. You know the songs that...
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, upbeat, up-tempo songs, you know, make it a celebration. And you see that now more so than ever before because when we were kids, it was always a sad thing, always left a kind of a bitter taste. You know, and just recently, of course, 4 years ago with Mom, that's what we did. We tried to make it a celebration. I think oddly enough, and I may have mentioned it, and our listening audience may remember, we were trying to have a surprise 70th birthday party for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
The day we buried her is the day that we had the birthday party scheduled.
Oh, okay.
I've thrown that out there, but I'm just saying, those things, Cheryl, regardless what I'm trying to say, those things people need to talk about. Because you never know, and you hope they live forever. We got our selfish reasons, and I want to send my condolences to the McLendon family out of Tampa. Their mother died yesterday morning about 4 o'clock, 4 a.m., I was informed. And, you know, we talk about the FAMU ties. She was a FAMUan. She was in the nursing program with my mom. Her daughter and I were very good friends. We went to FAMU same freshman year, and when our parents used to come in, wash our clothes. I'm not ashamed to say it, because for me, I was happy. My mom came every home football game.
Mm-hmm.
My clothes were washed, and the thing that hurted me the most was when I asked my mother not to wash my clothes anymore, and I remember her face like it was yesterday, like, oh my God, he doesn't need me anymore.
Mm.
And you know, that's one thing I totally regret. But she always talked about it. We said, well, son, you were making that transition into adulthood. And basically, I just didn't want her to come up there and have to work. Come up and enjoy yourself on the weekends, you know, that we have football games. That was my point. It wasn't that.
And you wish you had found a better way of saying that.
Right. But you know what, Cheryl, I could not think of anything that was good. Because I said, well, Mama, you don't have to do it. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Mama, you don't have to. Okay, Mama, I don't need you to do it anymore. Okay? And I tried to sugarcoat it, but then, I mean, she understood, but she said it hurt her little feelings. And, you know, that's Mom, because they're going to always try to do everything they can do for you. Everything. And that's, you know, I understood that. But the thing I'm telling you and everyone else, you know, it's no way to prepare for it. You know, but the thing is, you try to make every day special. And like you said, you've come to peace with some things with her, which is great. And encourage her when she comes home to do little things. Just don't cater into her, oh, I can't. Mama, come on, let's go over here in the kitchen. Cheryl, and let me share this with you and our listening audience. One thing, and I need to really write something, because Cheryl, I always had a passion of helping people. When she gets home, make her a part of everything. If y'all cook, the worst thing for anyone with emphysema is to reach above their head for something, like in a cabinet, or reach below for the lower cabinet. if there's certain things she like, if it's coffee, if it's different seasonings, put it all on the countertop. That way they don't have to exert any energy reaching out in front of them. But people with breathing problems, again, above their head is a problem, below their problem. So you just have to make adjustments to improve their quality of life. And if they can get around and help cook, if they can't do nothing but peel a potato, put butter on toast, you know, they feel viable. They feel like they're a part of the system. And that's what you do. And you find that you will put 3-4 years back on their life because they feel that they can be a part. They won't be a hindrance. They'll be a part of the solution. And then that will go a long way. And you'll see her smile. And then, you know, compliment her. Oh, Mom, you did. Oh, okay. Oh, girl, with your bad self. Whatever it takes, whatever little handles y'all use to, you know, make her smile or whatever. It's that reinforcement. And that's what we do. And we as African Americans, you know, we will put people at home and don't try to push them. Well, Mama, don't make, of course, yes, you know not to overexert, but do little things if she's in the kitchen to help. You know, and it's very minute things will mean such, well, it rings such volumes with people who have not done things in a while.
Yeah, because, you know, I think for people who like to go all the time, if all they're going to be doing is laying in bed all the time, they feel like, this ain't how I want to live. They might as well be a vegetable.
Right. So try to get them to do something. I know it's hot as the dickens here, but, you know, maybe playing stuff early in the morning or later in the evening, things of that nature, so it won't be that bad. But, you know, there are ways, and I'll show you, even through her doctor, maybe get what they call liquid oxygen or smaller bottles of oxygen so that she can move around, give her a sense of independence.
We do have those because we brought them to Florida for my aunt's funeral. I want to get her out, you know, because I'm just like sitting up there in that hospital. I was like, if I see another judge this, whew, oh boy. I know that she missed seeing the haves and the have nots, so that will get her up. But I'm going to get her out of the room. You know, you can't be locked away in that room.
Right.
I have to, you know, get it. And having people here, you know, I have to get her engaged. And, you know, it's really challenging because there were times where I was just like, oh, my. You know, we did have conversations about a lot of things. And I explained, you know, my perspective. And she listened, and it didn't seem like lots of times when my mother and I in the past, when we'd have conversations as an adult, if I said something, it was like I was accusing her and she was on the defensive. She wasn't on the defensive now. She listened to me and she tried to understand what I was saying. And, you know, and even to child rearing, because you know kids are manipulative.
Oh,
and
yeah. I would want to.
Yeah, and one thing that my mother admitted, and has never admitted before, she admitted that I was a good kid. That I was hardly any trouble. I did what she said and everything. And then, you know, I have the girls up there in her hospital right now. And I didn't tell them what was going on, and I told them last night because they were acting out. But I told them, no, you stay up there, and you spend time with your grandmother, and actually give me a rest.
Right.
And because, you know, me sitting up there, I was trying to do work from there and everything, and then it was, like, emotional, and you just get really, really tired. And so you know, just talking to my mom and, you know, telling her, because I tell her, even like raising the kids, I said they manipulate you, and she wondered why I was seemed so angry all the time, because it was like, you know, you aren't helping the situation. They would say things that you knew were not true. Anybody who knows me knows is not true. And instead of my mom, you know, saying, okay, we're going to get to the bottom of that, or I didn't say that, or saying, I know that child didn't say it, but even if you didn't want to say they were being untruthful or something, there are ways you can fix children from trying to manipulate you.
Right.
And I said, and so it happened just as quickly as yesterday. They spent the night Friday night, and Friday night they tried something. My mother's like, stop. Don't even go there. I know otherwise. And I said, and, you know, you fix them. You know, you fix them good, because they needed to hear that. But they should have heard it. It's never too late, but they should have heard it like about 6 years ago, because they've kind of made the last 6 years almost unbearable, because it was the constant competition with people, you know, because people feel like they haven't done what they're supposed to, they're going to be quick to believe these kids. And that's what was going on with everybody, because everybody felt like, oh, Cheryl's had all this to do by herself, you know, for the longest. And, you know, and this is really bad. And so it's always really interesting, because kids will manipulate you like crazy. But you listen to Cheryl's World, and glad you're here with me. Cheryl's World, Sunday through Saturday. That's right, Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock with Cheryl and Andrew. And it was about to be Andrew by himself. He's lucky I didn't get lucky. No, he's lucky that I am up early this morning. But anyway, it's Sunday today. Tomorrow I'll be back at 6, but I think I'm going to get in touch with Yvette, and we may just let you listen to some Labor Day music or something from last year, because I know you're going to be out doing things. Then on Tuesday, you know, we back to work and everything, and I'll be getting ready for house guests. But we'll have something for you on Tuesday. On Wednesday, guys, are everything natural. Yeah, I'm telling you. And there are some things we're giving up for an exciting, exciting fall season. And I'm talking about with Yvette. And I know she'll have some of the divas with her, and they'll be keeping you interested. I tell you, I was telling somebody just the other day, Andrew, that listening to Yvette and her guests, they had me saying, about polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, my husband could have a couple of wives, you know, and me. And, you know, and as long as he doesn't get his wires crossed on who he's with. And but it was really interesting, because the interviews on Wednesday night, they're so informative. And I was actually sitting there listening to, on one of the shows, a lady describing polygamy and her relationship and everything. And I asked them, that sounds interesting. I never thought of it that way. It was really, something for me. So that's on Wednesday night. Learned so much about your hair, your body, just all kinds of things. And so I encourage you to tune in that night. You need to go and sit in with them sometimes. On Thursday night, we have Young Generation with the beautiful and talented Daria Talbert and her crew. And they're talking, helping you understand our young people. And Daria is 25, and she has young people on younger than her, and which helps me try and relate. And then, you know, I've even been on there trying to be young sometimes. And on Friday night, let's go to the movies. That's right, with Jamil Bradfield. And Jamil is our critic, our movie and entertainment critic for iMessenger Enterprises, for the Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, and iMessenger. And She has directors, producers. She has some of everybody on there talking about movies, and does a wonderful job with that. So that rounds out. Then we come on Saturday, and we give you the best of. But we're going to be adding to our lineup. We need to be bringing you, and you need to, even if you have to pre-tape 2 hours of a show, you need to do it and join Cheryl's World in that perspective also. It's straight up on the hour. It's Cheryl's World. You got any black college sports for us, Andrew?
Yes, I do. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Good morning, everyone, as we embark on the second hour of Cheryl's World. This is Andrew Wiggum for Cheryl's World, giving you all the scores and highlights from my historically black colleges and universities, featuring schools from the SIAC, the CIAA, the MEAC, and the SWAC. Over the weekend, the heads are knocking, and the crack of football is in the air. Over this weekend, it was Tulane 34 over Jackson State 7. Western Illinois defeat Hampton University 42-9. Army over Morgan State 28-12. Houston big over Southern. The game was held at Reliance Stadium in Houston, Texas. It was the Texas Cougars 62 over the Jaguars of Southern 13. Abilene Christian over Concordia Selma 84-6. Alabama A&M over Grambling State, 23-9. Alcorn State, big over Edward Waters, 63-12. Arkansas State over Arkansas Pine Bluff, 62-11. Belhaven over Texas College, 36-26. Coastal Carolina defeats the Bulldogs of South Carolina State, 27-7. Duke over North Carolina Central in the Battle of Durham, North Carolina, 45-0. Eastern Michigan defeats Howard, 34-24. Georgia Southern over Savannah State, 77-9. Jacksonville State over Alabama State, 24-22 in a squeaker. Maine defeats Norfolk State, 23-6. Northern Colorado over Langston University, 31-10. Prairie View in the Labor Day Classic held in Houston over Texas Southern, 37-13. And today, let's not forget, there are two games, and one is going to be starting probably within maybe an hour and a half on the Central Time at 10:45 or 11:45 on the East Coast. It'll be the Devils of Mississippi Valley State against the Rattlers of Florida A&M in the MEAC SWAC Challenge. That can be seen on ESPN. Make sure that you take a look at that and see two fine institutions on national TV, Labor Day weekend, Sunday prime time. Make sure you check that out. And then also this evening, it's going to be Bethune-Cookman, the Wildcats against the Tigers of Tennessee State in Nashville at LP Field, which is where the Titans play their game. It's the 15th annual John Merritt Classic, and we want to wish them well, too. Cheryl, it's just so much going on, and we'll try to always keep you abreast of what's going on. I will continue to bring you scores as long as I have breath in my body, because this is what it's all about, just informing us. The wire's getting better for us to find out these scores on our historically black colleges. But you know what? Nobody delivers it like we do. This has been Andrew Wiggum for Cheryl's World. Back to you, Cheryl.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, is FAMU's band going to be there today?
Yes, they're making their re-debut. We're going to come up with new words this year, Cheryl, that we can put in Webster's. Re-debut. They'll be back on the field. They're not as big as we're accustomed to, 400-plus. They may be about 170, 200. But you know what? I think everything, you get the crowd back into it, you get the football team knowing that there is a band behind them so that they'll do the salutatory of fight song when they score a touchdown. So all that, you know, will have a positive impact on the fall for Florida A&M.
Okay. Now, what, you say ESPN 2?
I'm showing ESPN, but, you know, just make sure to check your local listing. It could be either ESPN, ESPN 2, or ESPN U. but it will be on live. And it's the Disney MEAC Swag Challenge. Usually the top teams, now, the way they work this out, the team who actually won the MEAC last year, I think it was Bethune-Cookman, they went on to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So they're not out playing this, but this team that finished in second, or usually second or third, will play in this challenge as well. And they were complaining about it, but it's a something dealing with the NCAA because the schools actually get paid for this, and they want to make sure that it's not a probably evenly dispersed as far as the monies are concerned. But, you know, you can't ask for a better thing. Florida, Disney, FAMU, you know, you can say it in one breath, and it comes out so smooth. FAMU at Disney in Orlando.
Okay, and what time is that?
It's going to be 11:45 Eastern Time, 10:45 Central, 9:45 Mountain, and 8:45 on the West Coast. So those who are listening, I know you have breakfast going now on the West Coast. Just tune in to your ESPN and catch some real HBCU action.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm excited about that and looking forward to a good year for FAMU, a good year for HBCUs. And I know you can look at those scores and say, oh, my gosh, you know, it was just a payday. It was,
over the years, I've always questioned that because sometimes getting paid, your program getting good money, at least $250,000 for the most part, free travel, exposure for kids. But sometimes at the mercy of their football intelligence, at the mercy of their pride, some of these kids, you know, and we try to deliver the scores with a lot of class. But, you know, since I'm not talking about one particular school, but the term that we will use around the boys, it was cooler talk, is that they were driven, beat to death, around the cooler now. Oh, my God, did they show up? Things like that. And, you know, I still have my reservations about it. But some of these programs, it's like a shot in the arm where they can improve their facilities. They can get to the point where they can actually compete with some of the major schools. And that's what we're aiming for. Because if you look at the age group, Cheryl, between maybe 65 to 75, if they went to college, they had not too many choices to go. Okay, it's only the ones from 40 to about 60 that had choices, and those of us who selected these HBCUs, you know, I wouldn't trade it. Of course, I can't trade it, but even then, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And it's just good for the exposure, and some of the kids that might be outstanding players, when they play these bigger schools, if they're looking at somebody else on tape and then they realize, oh, my God, number 75 ate his lunch today, meaning that he took advantage of him, then that puts them on the map. And then when they start looking at more HBCU films, then they could, you know, then they could discover other stars. So if you're good, I don't care where you are. That's just some of the parents that are listening. Everybody can't go to Division I. You go to Division I, there's a lot of great kids out there, and your kid may not play until his junior or senior year, whereas if you go to these HBCUs being good, you can be that big fish in that little pond early.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
And you can make it in the pros because, you know, we talk about Walter Payton from Jackson State, little Jackson State at that time, Jerry Rice, who still leads the NFL in reception, yards and touchdowns, okay? Mississippi Valley State. You know, you don't think about that. If you love the 49ers, you know he was a great player. But he went to a black school. He didn't have to go to Notre Dame. He didn't go to University of Texas or Oklahoma. He went to Mississippi Valley State. Probably playing in where the ground was wet on one end of the field. Might have been dry. Catfish farms, soybean, tobacco, whatever they grow. Cotton, probably cotton and soybean in that area of Mississippi. But you know what? From a small town in Itabena to the bright lights of the NFL. So if you're good, don't worry about it. Get your time in, and you can make it. Not only in the NFL, but in basketball, baseball, and if you choose to do hockey, I'm sure you'll do well, too.
Andrew Wiggum, I'm Cheryl Smith, and, you know, there are things, you know, this is a big week because we had Oprah and MegaFest, and some people travel, just like people travel here, they travel to the Tom Joyner family reunion.
Right.
In Florida, and we need to stop reacting to things and strategically. You know, when folks talk about, you know, boycotting, you know, we got to be smart. We got to be smart with how we do things, and we don't want to hurt ourselves to prove a point to others. You know, you can make yourself uncomfortable with some things, but come on, please. But I want to share something. I don't want to take up the show just becoming a medical thing, because some of these things we have to get on natural with on Wednesday with our wonderful Yvette. But let me tell you, I was looking at a post, and, you know, yeah, we have to watch what we do sometimes, you know, Facebook can really, really consume you. But this is from Clarice Sales. It says, I'm a private person and like to keep things that way. However, I owe a few apologies and been told my storm is a testimony that may help someone. On Wednesday, September 4th, I will have carried a child without a heartbeat for 10 weeks. At noon, things will change. Instead of hugs, would squeeze out the tears I hold back. I ask for prayer. Pray for my family, for strength, peace, healing, the ability to move forward with our lives. I apologize if I don't give you a bright smile, talk to you, or share your excitement. Give Damon Sales and I time. We'll be back to our normal selves. Thanks.
Wow. That's an interesting one. You know, I think we'll pray for him. I've been on the other end. I've been a father. I've actually been a professional through deliveries and everything. And it is such a wonderful, wonderful thing, especially as a parent. But as a practitioner, it's wonderful because you're bringing a new life into the world, and you know, and just the optimism of what's to come. But for the lady to share that, which is that's strong nature there, and it takes heart to actually put that out there. I don't have anything negative, but 10 weeks, you know, I'm just thinking in my head, that's a long time. And it's anguish, I'm sure, for the mother and the family that you're carrying a baby, and it's been 10 weeks, and without a heartbeat. Usually, you know, I thought, well, maybe they would induce labor to make her abort. And at this point, it's not the fetus, because the fetus is in early stages. But, you know, again, we don't know how far she said 10 weeks. So, I mean, was it 10 weeks on the back of 7 months, or 10 weeks on top of 90 days? You know, things of that nature. So we really don't know all the particulars. But,
right.
You know, I'll be praying for him. I know it has to put an emotional scar on the parent. Definitely have to be. And that's, I can only imagine, Cheryl, when you're having a child, the thing is that you want them to be healthy, you count toes. And that's what I did. I mean, it sounds kind of trivial, but that's all you want, healthy and with the limbs, because the reason I say that, a lot of our men and women who have served overseas, especially the childbearing ones now from 30 to, well, even younger than that, 20 to 40, the childbearing age, if one of the parents had been overseas, there were kids that were coming back with no limbs or being born with no hands or maybe a foot missing or whatever the case may be. So you always heard about just counting fingers and toes. And it means a lot now because a lot of things, there's so many different things that are going on with our foods. You know, we may get fruit from West, I'm just calling the country, not no pun intended, West Chile, and they may use a pesticide or something that may create some birth defects. And we don't know, but, you know, I still to this day rent everything off that I buy at the grocery store as a precaution, because you never know. And it's just, you know, it's just unbearable with some of the things that are transpiring now. But I'll be praying. I hope the listening audience pray for this family, because really don't know. It takes a lot of guts to do what she's done. But, you know, the after effect, I don't know if they're going to let her see the baby or what. You know, it's just, there's so many particulars that are left out that we really don't know. But I'll be praying for that family, because I'm sure it's a tough time, especially with the mom having the baby additional 10 weeks. Knowing
yeah.
that there's no harm.
Right, right. Oh, excuse me. And I want to send out, as we always have, breaking news coming. The Honorable Nelson Mandela has been released from the hospital.
Okay. And you know, some conflicting reports there. Some people say, oh, he wasn't in, he's been out. You know, I don't know. The Newswire, of course, like you're saying, is saying that they are, that he has been released. Well, being released, I hope he gets stronger. He's not going to make all the public appearances like we're accustomed to, because he's an older man now, but at least improve his quality of life. And that's something that I really stand on. And like I was telling you about with your mom, improve the quality of life. That's what you want. Make him feel more viable in the system. I mean, and I'm sure Mandela's probably never lift a finger since he's probably been out of prison. But, I mean, he's Nelson Mandela. But at least, you know, let him do some things to make him feel viable.
Well, that is something. And, you know, my I definitely feel for the family. And we have to, you know, sometimes, you know, and they are explaining, but sometimes, you know, I tell people, understand that you don't have to know what somebody is going through for you to treat them right.
Right.
Oh, you would have treated them better if you had known. No, you don't need to know. Treat yeah. people right.
Absolutely. You know, and that's something I stand on too. You know, I don't know, you know, I try to bring the brighter side of things, Cheryl, that I deal with on a daily basis at work. But I tell you, sometimes when I on my way to work, I just think about all the BS that you have to encounter. First of all, you got to fight people, especially when you know that, and they may call it arrogance. You know, so call me arrogant. I'm just confident, very confident in what I do. After 26 years, Cheryl, I think you should be able to know some things, experience some things as well. It's just like in the journalism world. There's not much you haven't seen. There may be a story or two you'd be like, oh, wow. But you know good print. You know good stories. You know good outlets. You know bad outlets, things of that you become media savvy. And that's how I feel, too, becoming medical savvy over the years. But, you know, people don't understand. You know, it's not that I'm better than anyone, but, you know, I've traveled some different roads. I've done some different things. So what you see as far as Andrew is a person that maybe the corners are not as square as some people may be. It may be, as they say, well-rounded, and I'll look at it like that. But the thing is, I don't try to impose anything. I try to help everybody understand, and not only my patients, but coworkers, things of that nature. But what hurts more, you expect that from other races, I'm just going to call it. But when our own people, Cheryl, do things like that, it hurts me because I take it to heart. And like you said, you don't know what people are going through. And some people just, they want to pound, and they can be jealous, whatever the case may be. I say get over it. But I learned early, regardless of what they may take from you or I, they never can take from what's between your ears. Okay. And I know that came from left field, but for those who may be experiencing some things like I am at work, the thing is just you do what you have to do, be the best that you can be, and regardless, people are going to throw knives and form weapons. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. you know, you keep going. I put my armor on. My armor is my prayer every day. Because I know you're familiar with that program called Snap. That's the one where all the ladies seem to snap.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to stop that program, honestly. Because when I go to work, I just try to do what I have to do. But, you know, there's some people that are really trying to throw you off track. And it hurts when our people are doing the same. And, you know, we have names for them, these people. And if you remember Django, the role that Samuel played, he was Uncle Tom, telling and trying to destroy what they have. And we have that. And you, wherever walk of life, I'm sure some people, I hope it's not you who's listening. But, you know, the thing is, we got to pull each other together and pull up. Because we've been here a lot of years, and we should have many, many resources over and above. But other ethnic groups have come in, and they are thriving because we can't stand together.
Very, very profound, very profound. We got to get our act together. And I was talking about how wonderful it was at you know, at MegaFest, because people, you know, people were smiling. It kind of reminded me of when I was at the inauguration the first time around for President Barack Obama. And it was, you know, D.C. just seemed so nice. It was kind and gentle. And I just had a wonderful time just with everybody speaking and being supportive and everything. And that's what we need to see. That's what we need to see all the time. Walking around the Omni Hotel and the Convention Center, it was just wonderful to see people speaking to one another and smiling and being nice, you know, because sometimes folks cannot be so nice.
Yeah, and you know, when we look at each other and we don't speak, you know, that really hurts me. At least acknowledge, catch the eye of the person. And if you don't do nothing, just look, Cheryl, just nod your head, anything. We'll look at each other and won't say, you know, won't say a thing.
Look at and look right through. And for me, yeah. My whole thing about that, Andrew, is I say, okay, I went down to MegaFest, right? Okay. I saw some people, and I said, there are some people, you know, you make a natural assumption that they're here for MegaFest. So you ask them, are they here for MegaFest, where they're from, and stuff like that. But then there were some, clearly, like there was a Ugandan event going on. And so I did ask, I did say, are you from, are you here for the Ugandan event? And they said, yes, you know, you just talk to people. But that's something, you know, like I know that people constantly say, you know, that, you know, they constantly want to give feedback. You know, they say, give us suggestions. We're going to a convention. What's important about, you know, what's something we should know about the convention? And you know, maybe your first time going, the first thing I say is speak. You know, I'm just like, speak to folks, because too often, you know, we go to these conventions, I'm like, okay, all these deltas, speak. You know, all these journalists, speak. All these attorneys, assume. I'd rather misspeak by calling an AKA or Zeta or Nunn or Sigma Gamma Rho Sora than to walk past a Sora and not speak.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Guys are bad too. And, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Whether, you know, we may acknowledge a little bit when you have your paraphernalia on, some still living in the past. You know, and some of my best friends have been Q's and Alphas. And, you know, and I keep telling them, I understand when we go back to school, you want to hang with your boys. I had the biggest problem, Cheryl, when I was in school. My homeboys felt like I left them hanging because I played.
Okay.
Oh, Wiggum changed. No, Wiggum didn't change. You changed. I have picked up more friends.
Mm-hmm.
But don't look at it like that. You know, then you find yourself, okay, where's my loyalty? Half of the football game, I would sit with the frat, and then the other one, I'd go with the GDIs. Those are my homeboys, the GDIs. And some people say Gamma, Delta, Iota, but being a Sunday show, you know, I can't say goddamn individuals. That's what they stood for.
Mm-hmm. Independent.
Yeah. So you sometimes you're pulled in the middle in situations like that, but all parties got to understand that there is, you know, there's growth, there's things going on, and we just respect each other for what they do and just speak. It doesn't, you know, if I didn't see you, I'm sorry. But the thing is, I speak to everybody. I probably speak more than I need to. But that's just me. That's my nature. And everybody at the hospital may see, oh, well, Andrew, oh, he knows everybody. But that's it, because you never know if you're going to make somebody's day by just saying hello. And it's not a come on to anybody or anything, but you can brighten somebody's day because nobody has said a word or made a gesture, but just make them feel good to acknowledge their existence in this universe. And that's how I do. Patients, coworkers, hey, what's up? How you doing? Some people, of course, I'm guilty too, because they look at you, Cheryl, like you got some poop on your face.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't want them to smell it, so I look the other way.
Cheryl's World, I'm Cheryl Smith, and a lot to talk about. I want to touch a few headlines for a minute, Andrew. And that is, you know, you have people questioning. You have mayor of Newark, New Jersey, running for senator. And you have people that want to focus on his sexuality. Is his sexuality important? Should it be an issue whether if he's gay or straight?
Well, you asking me to comment on it?
Sure.
Hey, whatever you do behind your door is your business. You know, I know my preferences, and I'm going to live by that. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they're trying to live double lives. Just be who you are. I think if you, and I'm walking on eggshells here, if you choose to live a life that has become, I don't know how to say it, Cheryl. I'm just saying, traditionally, it may be ABC is how men and women live. It might be CD now because you have alternative lifestyle. That's your choice if you choose to do it. As long as you don't impose your will and don't frown on people who may not think the same way as you. So it's going to happen. But enjoy yourself. Whatever makes you happy. If you want to, look, run under the waterfall butt naked, do it. That's your thing. Now that song, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to.
Well, let me tell you about a good story. Thomas James, 18, of East Orange, New Jersey. Kelly Gallimore, 18, of Plainfield, New Jersey. Anthony Blondie, 18, of Wayne, New Jersey. And Jelani Bruce, 21, of East Orange, New Jersey, are four members of the William Patterson University football team, and they each received a $50 gift card from this store after surveillance cameras captured them paying for some batteries and sunglasses, even though no employees were around. Buddy Small Lots in Wayne, New Jersey, was actually closed on Sunday night, but the lock malfunctioned and the lights were on making it appear as though it were open. And on August 25th, police alerted the manager of Buddy's Small Lots that there had been a break-in at the store. Video surveillance showed four young men entering the store and then leaving with several items in hand. The store's vice president rushed over to the scene, expecting a disaster, but was met by a minor miracle, they're calling it. The young men had left the money owed for the items, tax included, at the register. Now, that, they talked to the boys. One of the boys said, you know, on today's show, honestly, we thought it was a Halloween gag or something. We thought someone was going to come out and say, "Ah, gotcha, welcome to the store." When no one appeared, the men helped themselves to a $4 pack of batteries and a $1 audio cable for dorm speakers and laid the payment on the counter before hurrying off to another preseason practice session. We had to get back to practice, so they just showed the money to the cameras, put it down, and we just left. So, were you, any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad they did because, you know, they wanted to say breaking and entering, and if it's brothers of color, oh, they ain't going to pay. So they just killed that misnomer, because I know some brothers wouldn't have paid a thing. They would have walked out, oh, there ain't no attendance, let's go. So at least I applaud them for being honest about it and putting it on there, and they need to find out, well, if the store wasn't locked, who left it unlocked? God can't work from the inside and the outside.
Right. Right. Well, I just thought it was really, that's a nice story.
Very nice story. But did it make mainstream? Where did you find the source?
Yes, it did. Well, I actually read it in the Afro, but they were on, the story was on NBC. Associated Press had the story. And, it was on the Today Show. And so I'm sharing it. Now it has been on, it's been on Cheryl's World. So now it's out there.
Well, good. Well, you know what? We used to say it's not a sure bet unless it's in jet. But, you know, CNN, usually they run some good stories. Fox don't want to show that black folks can do good, except for their two or three anchors. And I think they probably hypnotize sometimes with some of the stories that they present on Fox. But, that's great. I commend the young men for doing it. Obviously, a good upbringing. Someone say, hey, man, let's leave it. I'm sure if one of them may have said, hey, don't worry about it, they would have followed, but at least somebody had some good in them and they had enough sense to realize the good it would be and just leave the money up there for the items that were taken. And if they knew cameras were there, and like you said, they flashed the money up to show that it was put on the counter, then, you know, no harm, no foul. If I was the owner, I would invite them back. Well, you got to be careful, too. With NCAA rules, what do you do with the gift cards? If they accept the gift cards, will they be ineligible? There's so many loopholes in that, Cheryl, that you have to be careful with. You know, maybe give them a citation and just tell them, you know, they would check with the NCAA to see, because it was quite noble of them to do this. Or can it be given to the families without restraints, or Anything could be worked out. But you can't give stuff to the parents either. You know, that's the kind of way. It didn't come from the university. So that may be good as well, but you have to check on things.
Yeah.
And it could be from an arch rival school and invite them in thinking they were still, so they would be ineligible for the football game. Anything. You never know the intent of people. But, again, these young men, they showed that they had character, and they did the right thing. If all our young men and young women show that they have character, good, sound judgment, that's what we need them to show, because the mainstream media wants you to cool off in the summertime under the fire hydrant.
Well, this story needs to be all over the place because it needs to be all over the place, because if they had went in there and looted the place, it would have been all over the place. So I salute these young men. For real, for real. And speaking of saluting, I want to say happy birthday to some people. And it's that time. If you have some, get them ready for me, because we have a lot of birthdays. And tonight I'll be at the Brick House Lounge because Miles J will be performing for the third night in a row. And you can go and you can come out and have a good time and hear the brother. I was listening to a CD on the way home, and, you know, the brother is really, really talented.
He is, he is.
Yeah, and we missed him at the Bowl-a-thon this year. You said what now?
Is there another CD released since his last one? I think I got a copy of the last one. I can't think of the name, but it sounded so good. But see, I've been before I met Miles, I've always been a fan, because his music, you know, Cheryl, I guess I've been a player from way back, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, y'all. Everybody got a game. Everybody got an angle. And even back before, look, I'm dating myself now, before CDs, when we had LPs and cassettes, song, you know, Let's Start Over, I Was a Fool, some of them songs, you know, got you out of trouble when you thought you were a player back in the game. So, you know, and his song and his music has always been very good, very soothing. And then when we met him over at, I'm losing. What is that? Blackjack Pizza right next door to it? Right down south.
Emerald City.
When he played and he was getting ready to play his violin, I think one of the strings that went down on him. But it was amazing to see how many different instruments he could play.
And
the voice that, you know, at one time you thought it was Teddy or things like that. And he still had that, I don't know if you want to call it baritone tenor, probably more of a tenor. And, you know, the brother got talent and accomplished violinist, because it wasn't very popular, and he speaks of it not being very popular for him growing up. What is it, in New York or New Jersey?
New York.
You know, for a black kid to be carrying a violin, and it's not popular anywhere, but things, you just have to follow your passion. And that's a lesson that everybody, if you want to do it, don't let anybody keep you from doing what you want to do. You know, if you want to be a violinist, a bassoonist, whatever the case may be, if that's what you like, do it. Because the only regret I have for my childhood, I played the piano a little bit. My mother tried to teach me, but she used to beat my fingers because she taught piano the old school way. If you hit the wrong note, beat your knuckles with ruler. So I figured if anybody was going to do the beating, it needed to be me, and that's why I play drums. But if I could have played another instrument, and I understand all the notes and everything, that's why I bought a saxophone. And now I'm rediscovering some of the love that I have for music, you know, and just play to myself. It doesn't have to sound great. Sometimes I still miss a few notes, but I'm not a professional. But it just sounds good to me. And that's all. It's so relaxing. And that's why I get my kids and parents listening. Your kids may be smart kids, intelligent kids, but develop the other side of their brain and bring out the arts in them so that you have right, left brain working together. Because I'm telling you, it's so relaxing when you have these tough days at work. You can go and find peace with yourself and play your horn or play the piano or whatever instrument you may have. And that'd be it. Some people may like to write poetry or, you know, just find whatever you like that will calm you down and get you in a state of mind that you'll be able to move on and do what you do.
Good message from Andrew Wiggum. And speaking of messages, we had a message Minister Farrakhan, he asked Mr. President, he says, may I respectfully say, Mr. President, your advisors don't seem to be your friends. And he's talking to him about decisions being made. So that's something to consider. But let me tell you about some of those birthdays before I forget them. Because yesterday, can you tell me why they called your fraternity brother Slick Rick?
I did inquire about it because, well, at the time, his name was Mark James.
Yeah.
And so Slick Rick goes along with Rick James.
Right. Okay.
That's how I got that. So he's Slick Rick. And last name being James. Because I'll never forget, Mark had us do, what was that little chant or something? Big Brother Slick Rick, the cool noob with the peppermint stick. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And look, he was such a lady's dream, make you want to scream, or something they added to the end, you know.
Okay, stop, stop, stop.
Well, he was right for me. They were spring 80, I was spring 81, and, you know, it may have been some other names and other characters they may have associated with them. But when you get over, you have a tendency to make more of it than what it really was.
Mm-hmm.
And but Mark was cool. It was kind of like the Tampa Bay area. Guys looked after each other. I don't know if you remember Emmanuel Knowles. He was from St. Peter. And he gave me a tough time. He gave me a tough time being a homeboy. And, you know, you try to stick together with your area. But Mark James, Kerry Jackson, those guys from Sarasota and Tampa, respectively, they looked out for us. Mark tried to get a little hard. Kerry just wasn't in him. But Kerry was my line number, ism, as they call it. And, you know, he probably was the lesser of evil for us. I mean, he put us through some things, but it seemed like he had compassion more than some brothers. And you know how it is with your sisters, too. Some of the ones that probably couldn't take anything online was the main one up in one of the sorority sisters' face, Pledgy's faces at that particular time.
Well, you know, yeah. It's really, really interesting that you mentioned him and Kerry because I wrote a play. And in that play, both of them were in the play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were in the play. And that was when you were online.
Okay. And we didn't even get to see it.
Oh, yeah. And y'all missed it. It was a black version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay. I hope you got it. Let's put it on production. I got some little people that would be loved to get in it. You still got a copy of it?
Yes, I do. And it had some song. It was called Sizzling Red and the Seven Dudes. And it was the Jabberwock. Actually, it was Jabberwock for that year, spring 81. And it was, and I wrote the play and had, you know, Soraz come over and we edited it. Let me tell you what's in it, because, like, when you look at Jabberwock, you know, Delta Sigma Theta called together all the Greek organizations and they would take a part of, it came from the animal in Alice in Wonderland, and which was made up of several parts of several animals. Well, this animal came to get called together the members of his kingdom every year for the purpose of putting on a show. Well, Delta called together all of the Greek organizations. And, you know, and there were some of our chapters on, there were some of our sororities and fraternities didn't have a lot of members, so you couldn't count on the whole group to do things. So I just used different people. So Sizzling Red was, it was called Sizzling Red and the Seven Dudes, and Sizzling Red was actually Deborah Lyons, a pyramid pledging Delta Sigma Theta from Newport News, Virginia. The guy who would ultimately be her prince was Stewart, and his name was, the guy who played him was Herschel Clark, an Omega from Kansas City, Missouri. Zelda, who was the wicked stepmama, and don't say I'm stereotypical, but it was Zoe Hall, who was an old member of Alpha Kappa Alpha from Tampa, Florida. Her husband, the father of Sizzling Red, was Andy, we call Lavelle Ross. And Andy, I'm thinking, was he a Kappa? I'm thinking, from Indianapolis. The Mirror was Victor Duncan, an Omega from Philadelphia, who's still at FAMU. Well, now, it's just radio station. The narrator was Terry Ellis, a Delta from Chicago. Now, the Seven Dudes were Slim, who was played by Michael Allen, and Omega from Mobile, Alabama. Champ was Robert A. Jackson, and Alpha from Hillcrest Heights, Maryland. Moochie was Curtis Collins from Kansas City, Missouri, and Omega. Bubby was Amos Ealy. Is that a Kappa? I'm thinking. You say what now?
I'm hearing a little interference.
Oh, and Amos Ealy from Jacksonville, Florida. I think he's a Kappa.
Right, he played with Mark Carey.
Oh, okay. And then, let me see. Okay, then Shorty was Charles Maloney from Fort Lauderdale and Omega. Fats was Paul Dunbar. Ooh. You have a frat brother named Paul? I think he was an Alpha.
Yeah, maybe. Slick
was Kenneth Colebrook from Miami. And if I remember correctly, he was a Sigma from Florida State University.
Okay.
Stewart, who is his prince, his mom was Geraldine Brown, who was a Delta from Tallahassee, Florida. And his dad was Gregory Powell, an Omega from Plainfield, New Jersey. Now, Helen was the maid, and that was Fabian Spearman, and I'm thinking she was an AKA. Or Zeta. Now, the hitmen were Babyface Jackson, Louie, and Al, and they were all members of Kappa Alpha Psi, Kerry Jackson, Mark Griffin, and Mark James.
Okay. The Reverend Mark Griffin.
Oh, okay. He played the hitmen.
It's interesting. What? Interesting that you say Mark Griffin. You know, being a little brother under Mark, I could see that him. I really could, because he, you know, some people, they're part of something and you look like out of place. I wouldn't say out of place, but he just didn't have, he just was different in a good way. You know, when things were going on, Mark kind of stayed back and then didn't do anything.
Well, he was good in this, and then who else did I have? The card girl was Marty Graydon from Cleveland, Ohio. She was a member of Sigma Gamma Rho, and the accompanist was James Reed of Alpha Phi Alpha from Palatka.
Uh-huh.
And the music technicians were Cedric Gibbons and Jeffrey Holden from St. Pete. Oh, okay. Were those the
Yeah, they were pledging. They pledged the same time you did.
Who, Sad Given?
Yeah, they look like they have on Sphinx stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure James, if they, but I couldn't remember, you know, when I played Cheryl, you were in such a different mindset. I remember being with the Pyramids. We were with some of the AKAs. The guys, I couldn't remember unless I remember, oh, saw them on the yard. Okay, we played the same year, same time. But I remember the sorority pledgees.
Now,
it really depended who was dating who. At the time, that's who you had association with. So if it was Richard, Vaughn, or somebody with the Deltas, and then the other group with the AKAs, we were very fond of both groups. Because you know that old chant that for the Deltas, that the Qs may be your brothers, but the Nukes are your lovers. And the same thing for the AKAs, the Alphas are your brothers, but the Nukes are your lovers. So I understood at an early fraternity age.
Well, I want to, and then we had Deltettes, and they were singers, and they were Pyramids, Loreen Dixon, LaWanna Tucker, and Janice Carter. And back to these birthdays, and you wonder why, how I know this so much. It just so happened I had the book out. Yesterday, as I was cleaning up, getting ready for all these house guests that are going to be here. But yesterday was Mark James' birthday.
Okay.
And today would be the birthday of Karen Clark. She was one of my favorite AKAs from Langston University. She taught at Langston University, and she was the deputy regional director for me. And so I'm remembering Karen Clark. Today was her birthday. Coffee Caesar, her husband, Michael Caesar, here in Dallas, is her birthday. Anna Casey, her and her mom and sisters and niece were all part of the Warriors and also very helpful with me with Don't Believe the Hype. Ruth Allen Allison of NABJ. Reverend Ruth Allen Allison. On tomorrow, Neil Foote has a birthday, and Felicia Shepherd, and Veronica Vasquez Allen sending her daughter off to college. She has an empty nest now. She's sending her daughter to, where is she sending? She's going to school in Savannah. Yeah, she's going to school in Savannah. So, you know, we say more power to you. Happy, have a good one. And, you know, just thinking back to when we were freshmen. Do you remember? Can you think back that far?
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
I can tell you a lot about my freshman year. And especially the spring of 81, that pledge. And that's why I was so shocked. You must have, this must have been a spring production.
Yes.
Right. So they kept us away. The only time we would see Lee Hall when we were getting ready for the extras. Where was it? Over in Tucker Hall or was it at Lee Hall?
It was at Lee Hall. Yeah, and it was, I tell you, it was really fun. We had a good time with it. And, you know, just, you know, when all of us coming together and you see different people and you see there was diversity in the people who, you know, played in it, you know. And so
You put things aside. I did hear a few more cues, but I understand how Deltas and Qs were at the time. But, no, you seem like you had a very diverse group. And, you know, I used to like the way we would come together for Panhell. A lot of people didn't like it. You know, they didn't want.
I love Panhell. I was a member. Actually, I think I was secretary my senior year. And I've always been for unity, for you know, getting past understanding we had to work together, you know. And some people were silly like that and didn't realize that, you know, you needed to work. You know, you needed to work together and that you needed to know when to put things aside, you know, and do what was right for the organization, you know.
Right.
Not just what you thought was right for you. You know, and that's what too often, you know, people would tend to do. So, as this holiday, I know there are other birthdays that I am missing. This week will be the birthday, celebrating birthday will be a good old friend of mine, Ronnie Mackey's mom's birthday.
Okay.
And,
all right, I'm gonna leave that one alone. Happy birthday,
Ms.
Mackey.
Yeah, and you know, Ronnie lost his sister about a month ago.
Right.
And this was his baby.
Did she have any kids, his sister?
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She was married and just, you know, and it's really amazing. And with Vivian was putting things into perspective because I said, gosh, you know, it's like I'm still close with the family. And Ronnie and I were engaged over 25 years ago. Why do y'all hold on like that?
This is a Sunday show. Let me just put it like that. Let your mind wander. Whatever you put in the cake, it was in the cake.
Oh boy. And I actually had a long conversation with them. You know, I think that, you know, I'm glad that you know, I did get a chance to talk to them. I was really kind of just trying, and you don't want to let money keep you from doing things. But I was just like really like, oh my gosh, because to get to Norfolk, it was just like extremely expensive. And you're like, come on, is this supposed to be better for people? Is this supposed to be better because of mergers and stuff like that? Or is this another opportunity to gouge people?
I think they're gouging. I don't know what the case with American and U.S. Air, what the, you know, a lot of airlines are fighting it. They will pretty much control every single market, east and west, because, you know, American pretty much has so many sites. Thinking of U.S. Air, their major hub, it's, of course, National. I think it's National and Philly, National or Charlotte. Most flights that we have through this area, we had to go back through Charlotte. So then everything Charlotte connects. You connect everything in Carolina, everything in South Carolina for the most part, everything that Delta doesn't pick up. And then they have some hot spots in Florida with Tampa and in Orlando. So you got that. American flies there, but it might be not that many flights there. But if they got that, they're controlling the whole East Coast, the Midwest, and actually the Southwest. Because when they merged, help me out, was American West or whatever they were at one time? It's out of Phoenix. So Phoenix was a major hub, too, spreading out to the west. So they would have, I think I looked at the news, you know, a vast majority of the routes in the United States. So then you could set the market, and that's what they were afraid of.
And they'll go bankrupt together because people start finding other ways to travel. You know, some of the rates are atrocious, you know, and we got to stand up and speak out about it, you know. So, but we'll be following that. And as we get ready to wind down, and I will be seeing Miles Day again tonight. And you can join me at Brick House Lounge if you'd like.
Okay. I would do that. And where's the Brick House Lounge, just to make sure I know where it is?
It's at 360 in Arkansas.
So over in Arlington.
Yes, it's in Arlington. Yeah, so it was good to see, and It's been great talking to you. You've been very helpful. I'm going to have to get you over to see my mom. And, you know, I guess, you know, as we prepare to get out of here and go and do something with our families and stuff, Mega Festival, safe travels, and go Rattlers.
Go Rattlers. Peace.
Okay.